All right, take your Bibles, if you will, please, and I want you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We finished up a series a few weeks ago on the subject of helping people. And just for week after week after week, nearly 40 weeks in a row, we talked about helping people. Of course, that's the heartbeat of God, and that's the heartbeat of the church. Something I think probably equally as important and maybe in the same arena is the new series. Tonight we're going to start talking about relationships. We're going to start talking about relationships. Now, if you have found John chapter 1, verse number 1, I want you to stand with me. John chapter 1, verse number 1. I'm going to read it, then we're going to turn to another verse or a passage and read it as well. Here in John chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Now, I want you, if you will, to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter number 5. I'm going to start with verse number 1. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, and said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. I pray that you would take your word and exalt it. May we stop what's on our minds and concentrate on the word of God. Help us to put the toils and cares of life aside, and let your word enrich our thinking and enrich our lives. Holy Spirit of God, our minds could run 100 different directions tonight, but may we all be in submission to you. Help us to stop our thinking, submit to you, and to listen so that we might leave here living the Word of God better and doing right in our lives, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. A moment ago, we read from John chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, and it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that Word is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Word of God. This book that we hold, it's printed Jesus, if you will. When we were reading a moment ago, we began to read a story. Peter was fishing. Jesus comes along and tells him where to put his net in the water. And Peter obeys. And this is what Peter said. Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will obey." So now I want you to picture it. Peter, a fisherman, he's out on the lake. He's fishing. Jesus comes along and said, "Sir, if you'll put your net where I tell you, you'll prosper." And Peter said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll obey." And this is what happened. Peter obeyed the word of God, put his net where Jesus told him to put his net. The Bible says that Peter caught so many fish that his net could not hold the fish. It broke the net. What a simple yet powerful act. Just obey the Word of God. Now, tonight, I'm starting this series with this thought. I want to talk to us tonight about our relationship to God's Word. Our relationship to God's Word. Obviously, in our minds, when you hear the term relationship, we would think, and rightfully so, we might be talking about a relationship between two human beings. And indeed, that's true. There's relationship after relationship after relationship in life between those of us that are men and women and boys and girls. But folks, the ultimate relationships in life are with our God. Now, Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. But since the Bible says in the beginning was the Word, I thought it might be a good idea to start in the beginning with in this relationship, talking about our relationship to the Word of God. In this story, Peter makes a wonderful, wonderful statement. He said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." You know what Peter did when Peter let that net down? And just at God's word, Peter did exactly what he was told. He did exactly what the stars do 24 hours a day. You say, what's that? What God says. Do you know that we, the human race, are the only ones that rebel against God? The moon does exactly what God says. The stars do exactly what God says. Donkeys do exactly what God said. Skunks do exactly what God said. The human race doesn't seem to get it. Peter is about to obey like the stars obey. At thy word, said Peter. He's about to do what the sparrows do all day long. Did you know that every time you watch a sparrow leave a telephone line and zoom toward the ground, he's in total 100% obedience to God? At thy word, earlier you heard a dog bark. We have a lot of people here that work at the postal system. You hear the dogs bark. But did you know there's not been a dog bark today that didn't bark summoned by God? The cows, they're going to make their noises and bring forth milk. When? At his word. What God commands, that's what the cow will do. At thy word, the roses bloom. At his word, the sun shines. At his word, the fish swims. At his word, the leaves fall from the sky. Hey, the pine needles come off of those pine trees at his word. In other words, every needle that falls, God beckoned. All God had to do is say, I want you to fall, and they fall, just like that. Clouds drop the rain because of God's word. Chickens produce their eggs because God said to. Lightning strikes because God said so. The grass grows in obedience to the word of God. The bees buzz because they're obeying the word of God. Rabbits hop because God said so. The eagle soars because God said so. The earth rotates because God's word told it to rotate. Up north, they have this white stuff that comes down from the sky. It's called snow. It looks a lot like cotton or flour that you'd buy, but it's cold and it's icy. It's called snow. It's of the devil. But the snow falls according to God's word. You know, the old gravity, when you drop something and it falls to the ground, gravity was merely doing its job because it's being commanded by God. And how does God do that? Everything exists and everything is kept in order by his word. Now, folks, all your relationships in life would be better if your relationship with the book, with the Bible, would be healthy. The key to God's will is God's word. The key to productivity in the Christian life and the key to productivity in your life has to do with God's word. Folks, you know the safest things you'll do in your life and with your life will come out of obedience to the word of God. Really, I'd like to ask you tonight, how's your relationship with the word of God? At thy word. Peter said something amazing. At thy word. Well, I'm going to do what I do because your word has told me to do it. And remember what happened with Peter. Peter put his net down where he was told to put his net down, and he caught more fish than what he knew what to do with. You say, how is that so? Well, he listened to the word of God. And the fish listened to the word of God. And the net listened to the word of God. And finally, Peter got in the rhythm that all of nature was in obedience to the Word of God. You get in rhythm with the Word of God, and prosperity has got to be yours. At thy word, it should apply, this thing of the Word of God should apply to all, even the ordinary occurrences in our lives. At God's word should control. I believe God's word is supposed to control all the countries of the world. I think the United States of America is to function based on certain instructions. You say, what are those instructions? Our Constitution? I think we're to function off the Word of God. I think the Olympics ought to be conducted with the Word of God being the guideline. You say, oh, that's ridiculous. You're hyper-religious. Oh, thank you for the compliment. But I think God's Word is, we are to have a relationship with this book and with the God of this book. And if you don't have a relationship with the God of this book and the book of this God, then you're not going to succeed in life. I think the Word of God should be the theme of the United States Senate, the United States Congress, and the President, and the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. I believe the Word of God ought to be used, and I think we ought to follow it. I think it's God's Word. I think police officers. I think lawyers. I think mayors and politicians and judges and the Supreme Court justice. I think everybody that has any position in life, if they would let the Word of God guide them, they would prosper in life. Though I know people don't like this in our day and age, everybody used to some degree agree with this. I think the Word of God ought to be taught in our daycares. I think it ought to be taught in our public schools and in our colleges and our universities and our technical schools. I know we've gone the exact opposite of that, but you're just looking at a person that believes it ought to be there. It ought to be there. It should have never been retracted. And why? Hey, do you know that the relationships in our nation are messed up worse than ever? You really stop and look at the relationships in America. Relationship with kids and their parents and parents and their kids and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives. The relationship of the general populace of the United States of America. You're scared to death of each other. Just wonder what's going on out there. What's happened? The relationships of our nation have deteriorated because of our relationship to the Word of God, and our relationship to God has been hindered. It's been made unimportant. I think it is God's Word. I think God's Word ought to determine our work ethic. The way you work should be determined by what God said you ought to do. That means you ought to be on time to work and you ought to work hard. So your relationships at work should be determined by the Word of God. I believe every businessman ought to let the Word of God be his motto. Whatever the Word of God says, that ought to be their motto. Honesty and I happen to believe that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the cattle. All those businessmen out there that think they own their stuff, really, they're just borrowing. That's God's stuff. And we would do, did you know that we would have far better relationships in business if we'd get back to a relationship with the Word of God? God's Word, I think every housewife, I think what you accomplish during your day, if you just get the Word of God in on things, you just think about how things ought to be done and what you ought to do, even at home, while you're at home. And I'm talking about the everyday duties. Mrs. Owens, she says, a lady's housework, that's angel's work. When you're at home doing angel's work, it ought to be done according to the Word of God. Hey, moms, wives, you're going to find something. You're going to have a much better life if you have a proper relationship with the Word of God. The relationships within your home are going to be far better. I believe that in all of our financial dealings, if we would get the right relationship with God and we would handle our financial relationships, if we would handle them according to the Word of God, we'd have better financial relationships. Oh, I will promise you, you want to have odds with someone, just get into financial agreements and start discussing money and lend somebody money or borrow money from somebody or don't pay somebody what they think you ought to pay them. And oh my, the person that loved you yesterday hates your guts today, all over money. You know what we need to do? We need to get the ultimate relationship book involved in our lives. And folks, it's really time for Christians to make people more important than money. But if the Word of God was involved in our lives, I believe that our finances and our financial relationships would be so much better. Folks, at home, if you want good relationships, you know what? Get a relationship. If Dad would get a relationship with the Word of God, and Mom would get a relationship with the Word of God, or if I may, if the husband and wife would both have individual relationships with the Word of God, and the sons would have a relationship with the Word of God, and the daughters would have a relationship with the Word of God. You know something? The bickering and the fussing and the hardship and the tension at home would be done away with. Why? Because the Word of God is the ultimate relationship builder, and you ought to have a relationship with the book and the God of the book, and they will then help monitor and guide your relationships in life. I think the Word of God can fix a marriage. You give me a husband that digs into the Bible and decides that the Word of God is going to be his guide. Then you give me a wife that believes that the Bible is the Word of God, and she's going to live her life according to the Bible. We're going to fix the marriage. It's going to be fixed. Why? The husband is in submission to the Word of God, and the wife is in submission to the Word of God. You're not going to find a messed up relationship where both people are right with God and the God of the book. It's just not going to exist. You say, why? The Word of God's going to tell you to forgive. The Word of God's going to tell you to be kind. The Word of God's going to tell you to apologize. The Word of God's going to tell you the husband's usually right. I think that's in there. The Word of God's going to tell you to serve your mate, and the Word of God's going to tell you to be good to one another, and the Word of God's going to remind you what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Oh my. You know what we've got to do? If you want good relationships, get to the relationship book. Have a relationship with the Bible. The Bible can teach you to have relationships with people. The world, their relationships are poisoned, and the world's relationships are weird. Hey, look at all the weird stuff happening in our country. Look at what they call relationships. Come on. It's falling apart. We can't even pick which restroom to use. My wife and I forget where we were. We were in Wilmington, and I was preaching in Wilmington, and we went to a store, and Mrs. Owens was out shopping, spending money. That was making me ill, so I needed to go to the restroom. I went to where the restrooms were, and I'm telling you, I looked at the signs, and there was two restroom doors, and the signs were so mixed up. I'm standing there and I'm thinking, I need to go in one of these restrooms. And I'm not sure which one's for me. This lady came out and she said, "Sir, you look puzzled. So you know you can use either one." You say, "What'd you do?" I went to McDonald's where they mark their restrooms clearly. America is whacked out. Our relationships are, what's going on? Tell you what, the further you get away from the Word of God, the further you get away from what relationships are and what people are. So I say to you, get into the Word of God like Peter did. He said, "You tell me what you want, God, and I'll do it." And in our everyday lives, if we'll get into the Bible, if you will build a relationship with the Word of God, that will help all your relationships. Did you know that all your conversations in life ought to be guided by the Word of God? The Bible says, "Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Most people never have a fuss without having a conversation. Do you understand that if your conversations were led because you have an active relationship with the Word of God, and that Word led your conversations, the offenses, the negative, the gossip, the hatefulness, the rudeness in your conversations would be done away with, because at thy Word you had a conversation. The Word of God will fix your relationships. At thy Word should help us make our decisions in rearing our kids. You say, "I want to help my children." What's the Bible say? You get you a good relationship with the Word of God, that will then help you with your relationship with your children. Did you know the Word of God can help you with your entertainments. It can give you what's right and what's wrong. Hey, did you know that the Word of God can give you all the guidelines you need to have proper friendships? You know, this book is completely full of guidelines for the thing called friendship. And so, you know, what the world calls friendship and what the Bible calls friendship are two totally different things. Two totally different things. The Word of God will help you with your relationships. The Word of God will help you with so many things, your everyday life. The Word of God will influence you. It will help you with your honesty, your purity. It will help you with your behavior. And folks, as we live our lives, the way we behave has everything to do with our relationships in life. The Word of God should make sure that you have a relationship with this book, so this book can help every relationship in your life. I have all these years as a pastor and as a preacher, I've watched people come in off the streets and maybe hear about our church or stumble in accidentally at our church. Maybe they weren't invited by anyone. They come in and their lives are just a mess. Their lives are a mess. And most of the time, if somebody's life is a mess, what they mean is the relationships of life are a mess. I don't really have many people stumble in and say, my kitchen cupboards are a mess and I came to church because my cupboards are a mess and I wanted help. Most people stumble in that have broken hearts and their lives are messed up. What's it have to do with? Relationships. Relationships. They come. You know what happens? I don't have to necessarily sit down and have an appointment with them, but because I am, some would call me, I'm a relationship preacher. I'm always working on our behavior toward people and how to handle people and what to do with people. You say, why? Life is really all about you getting along with God and you getting along with people. You got to live with God and live with people. And if you can't get that down, you don't have basic Christianity down. But they'll come in and they'll sit down in the pew and they'll say, you know what? What you just said, if I would have done that on my last relationship, it would have gone a little bit better. And, you know, you preached against that and I wasn't even thinking about it, but I do that and I've got a mess on my hands because of that. You know what? This book, preached properly, helps relationships. And before long, someone that is in total chaos, they don't get along with their husband, don't get along with their wife, not getting along with their children, don't get along with the people at work, they're not getting along with their families. Suddenly, the Word of God begins to put things in order in their life. They learn what to say, when to say it, how to say it. They even learn how to handle their own spiritual convictions the right way. And before long, the relationships in life are beginning to calm down. Say, you know, I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm getting it. The Bible is helping my relationships. Folks, get a relationship with the Word of God. The Word of God will then help your human relationships in life. I think let the Word of God guide you, not just in what we would call everyday matters, but how about even in the area of your spiritual success? Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to recommend to everybody in here, the Bible will teach you to pray. Did you know that there's an awful powerful tool that you have going for you in regard to your relationships? It's called prayer. Some of you young people, you say, I'm not getting along with my parents like I need to. I'd like to find out if you pray. Do you pray? Parents, you say, I'm at odds with one of my kids. How much time do you pray? You know that prayer will, God will get involved in your relationships as a result of prayer. There's something I do. I've done it for years. If I'm going to have a counseling session, and it's a very difficult counseling session with very difficult people, you know, I pray over those things. You say, do you pray that they get solutions to their problems? Yes, I do, but I pray that I can figure out how to get along with them while I'm helping them. It's very hard to, hey, you find someone that's drowning, you know what will happen? You swim out and try to help somebody that's drowning. They're just flinging all over the place. They'll beat you to death while you're just trying to help them. I have to pray that my relationship stays strong with a contrary or a negative person or someone. Most time in marriage, it's always the other person's fault. That's what you got to deal with. The wife, it's always my husband, or the husband, it's always my wife. And I'm thinking, somebody's got to tell you it's you. You're coming to me and saying, just tell me the truth, Pastor. And I'm thinking, you couldn't swallow the truth if I gave it to you with a little sugar in the spoon. But relationships, praying about relationships, The Bible will teach you to pray about your relationships. The Word of God will help you with your relationships. Concerning every part of your life, the Word of God is intended to help us with our relationships. I'll make you this promise in weeks to come, as we take this idea of relationships, we will talk about the practical relationships of life. We'll talk about the relationship that a husband has with his wife. We'll talk about the relationship that a wife has with her husband. We'll talk about relationships with a son, maybe a son that lives at home, maybe a son that's a child. We'll talk about a relationship with a son that's a teenager. We'll talk about relationships with grown children. It's a sad thing, but there are people under the sound of my voice. Though I do not know who you are, there are people in here. You have grown children. They're out of your house, and you're at odds with your grown children. And I'll tell you something, and you're saved and they're saved. That's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that Christian people whose children don't even live with them anymore. They don't talk. They don't communicate. They want nothing to do with each other. And I'm not talking about miles have separated us and we love each other and we all get along great, but there was a job that moved them somewhere. Now, I'm talking about you don't get along. That's a sad thing for Christians. We'll talk about relationships between employers and their employees and employees and getting along with employers. We'll talk about how the saved ought to get along with the lost. We'll talk about how to handle differences where the Bible teaches we're to love our enemy. If you went through the Bible, you'll find out just page after page after page after page, God is instructing us on how to get along. Get along with people, how to deal with people. There's a right and a wrong way. I have never seen a church fulfill its potential unless the people within that church learned the proper way to handle people and their relationships of life. Now, you say, why? Well, if you don't learn that, you go around offending each other all the time. Somebody comes to your church, and they're there for 3 weeks, and then they're all mad at you. Because the way you said it, hey, it's not always necessarily what you said. Sometimes it's the way you said it, or how much of it you said at one time, or just your timing. You know, there are certain things that I might need to share with my wife, but I'll look at it and say, I don't think this is the best time to share that with her. And we've got to learn it. Their life, Mrs. Owens and I, we trained our children, and we told them life is a series of two different things. Life is a series of decisions, and life is a series of relationships. What'll make you or break you in life, how you make your decisions, and how you handle your relationships. And that includes God. Two things. You're going to spend your life getting close to God and building a proper relationship with God, and I'll promise you this, then you'll also spend your life having relationships with people. And one thing that is very, very clear to me is this: when you tell me you're close to God, but then you have rotten relationships everywhere you go, you must not be spending time with the same God the Bible talks about. Because that God loves people. Now, there may be people that are contrary toward you, but you're supposed to be living God's way toward them. So if there's fault, let it lie in the other person's behavior, not in yours. But when you say, oh, I love God and I'm so close to God, yeah, but you can't get along with your husband, you can't get along with your wife, you can't get along with your in-laws. You don't really have many close friends because people can't get along with you. There's a problem there. You're not as close to God as what you think. Did you know that you'll become like who you spend time with? It's very true. You watch enough television, you'll become like whatever you watch on television. You spend a bunch of time with someone at work, you'll end up becoming like them. Could I recommend that you spend a whole bunch of time with the Word of God? You say, why? Then you'll become like it. It is the relationship fixer. It's the molder. It's the healer. It's the glue. It's a blueprint, and it's a guide. Learn people and relationships with the Word of God. You take our relationships. I think soul winning. I think there's something to do with this thing called soul winning. You know the whole story with Peter when he was a fisherman? He was out fishing, and Jesus said, cast your net on the other side of the ship. I don't think that was just a story about him fishing. I think there's a lot of lessons in there to learn about winning the lost and reaching people. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, let me tell you, if you will get close to the Word of God can develop your personality, the Word of God can develop your scriptural ability, and it won't be long until you'll be reaching people for the cause of Christ. You'll start getting people saved. You'll start changing the lives of others, even and the whole story where we heard Peter say, at thy word, I'll do what you say, then Peter's a success. Folks, if you'll get close to the Word of God and build a relationship with the Word of God, this relationship-building book will help you to get a passion for the lost. It'll cause you to start reaching people and bringing people to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. But listen, if you start having right relationships at work, I promise you, you'll get the chance to win some people at work to Christ. You have right relationships at work, you'll convince people at work to come to church. But when you have tension all the time with your relationships, and you can't get along with anybody at work, they don't want to go to your church. They don't want to meet your Jesus. There's some of you in here. You could probably reach some family. I'm talking about your family, your blood, your kin. You could reach them if you let the Bible teach you to have proper relationships. But somehow we get our grudges and we get bitter and we're not patient and we lose our kindnesses. We won't forgive. And so we have a wedge drawn or driven in between us and people that we love. So the Bible will teach you and I to win souls. The Bible will help us to reach out and have better relationships with our families. And as a result of it, I think you'll get your families under the sound of the gospel. The Bible will teach you and I how to have proper behavior toward people. And that behavior will make a difference in your relationships. I have watched two people married for 10, 15 years, miserable for 10 or 15 years. I've watched them give themselves to the Word of God and merely, independently, on their own. The husband, he builds a relationship with the Word of God. The wife builds a relationship with the Word of God. Two people, miserable for 15 years, merely existing together, and all of a sudden, their relationship starts cleaning up, and before you know it, they're not miserable anymore. Why? Because God's Word is a relationship book. Think about it. Think about everything that it teaches us. Patience. Patience with what? What's your basic patient problem concerning people? And people are what? Relationships? Forgiveness. Oh, forgiveness what? Your dog? Why do you need forgiveness? People? People are relationships? Kindness. Kindness to what? Your coffee maker? No, people. What are people? Relationships. You look through the Bible. You look at the fruit of the Spirit. You look at the teaching in the Bible. You look at everything that Jesus talked about. And you know what you'll find him over and over and over again? Trying to teach people how to get along. Trying to teach people how to act. Trying to teach people how to treat each other. It's still in the Bible. And if you're a strong Bible believer and you're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, it's King James Bible. If you're not careful, you can become a jerk and you become mean and you can become hateful. I happen to believe you can believe right and still behave right. Being good to one another. To me, an unstoppable combination is the strength of proper doctrine and sticking with the old-time religion and the standards, but loving deeply, treating people right, and learning relationships. No church ever grows beyond its ability to handle relationships properly. Won't happen. The attendance will always wither away until people learn to get along with each other. People learn how to handle relationships. In our series, we're going to need to talk about how do you get along with nursery workers? Nursery workers, how do you get along with parents? That could be a challenge at times because everybody's child is perfect. And every nursery worker and Sunday school teacher is an idiot, and we all know that. Oh, we'll have to learn. Hey, how do you get along with strong-willed people? Some of you are saying, I know how. I've been married to one for years. But all those things, did you know that if you didn't have strong people, a church would not go forward? There is a strength in leadership, but there's a way to get along with strong things. There's a way to make all of that work. So what we'll do in weeks to come is we will let the Bible guide us through our relationships. The greatest relationship for you, build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Build a relationship with the Word of God. And if you say, Pastor, I'm just not good with people, you will become good with people if you can become good with the Word of God, and you become good with the God of the Word. It will work on your relationships. I promise you, it'll make all the difference in the world. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, Peter said, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. And as a result of it, there was prosperity beyond his comprehension. And folks, you say, oh, I want prosperity. To me, there is no greater prosperity in life than to be getting along well with God and be getting along well with people. If you had all the money in the world and you were miserable with all your relationships, you would be so empty. But you could be poor, but have good relationships and be a happy person. Relationships will make you or break you. Start it where it all starts. John 1:1, where we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. Start with Jesus. Start with the Word of God. Everything else will fall into place. I was thinking about, we have a wedding in a couple nights. No better way in the world, young people, to learn how to be a good husband than to keep your nose in the book. No better way to learn how to be a good wife than to keep your nose in the book. No better way to learn how to be a good parent than to keep your nose in the book, because it is the relationship manual written by God. And we'll be far better off. America's in a mess tonight because America left the relationship book. You even look at our political parties. They've always had their divisions. It used to be that they were highly divided between the two major parties. Now the major parties are divided within the parties, like the parties used to be divided against each other. What's happened? Oh, the relationships have deteriorated worse and worse and worse. You look at all the riots and things in our country. What's happened? The relationships are just totally boogered up. They're a mess. And the Bible is less influential than it's been ever in the history of the United States of America. We want our country to get back to God. We're going to have to get our relationship straightened out. Our country needs a relationship with God again. We need a relationship with God's Word. I hope you'll decide to have a relationship with the Word of God. It will make a difference in all the relationships of your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The title of the sermon tonight, lesson number one in the new series called Relationships. We're talking about your relationship to the Word of God. That means reading it, respecting it, obeying it, studying it, letting it be your guide. Do you have the right relationship with the Word of God? If you do not, may I recommend to you that you recommit to your relationship to the Word of God. Who here tonight would say, Preacher, I want my relationships in life to be strong. I see that I need to make my relationship with the Word of God stronger so that I'll have better relationships in my life. And God has spoken to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand? And there are hands up all over the place and already. Sure. Let's make our relationships what they ought to be. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I've not had a close relationship with my Bible. I've not had a close relationship with you. Therefore, now I'm having my struggles with my mom, with my dad, with my husband, with my wife, in my life, with people at work, with my next door neighbor, with my friend, with my enemy, with my boss, with my employee. Brothers and sisters, I promise you, brothers and sisters, if you would live your life, live your relationship with your brother and sister according to the Bible, then we would do away with some of that tension. We would do away with those hiccups, if you will, in your relationship. Just do what Peter did. Peter said, at thy word, I'll do whatever you want. I'll handle this however you want me to handle it. Relationships. The Bible, the relationship book. Bible teach you how to get along with your grandparents. The Bible teach you how to get along with your grandkids. The Bible teach you how to get along with aunts and uncles. The Bible will teach you how to get along with people that don't like you. Relationships. This is the last time through the song, we'll be done.